Hello, everybody. Welcome to the King of Anime Podcast. If you're not familiar with the King of Anime Podcast, we cover about three shows a week this week. Sports Climbing Girls, Yashahime, and Attack on Titan. Those are in order. And the way the rules of the show work is it's based off Anime FMK, formerly by Team 4-Star. And we lock in a bunch of shows. Two passes. We get to watch the next week. Two kills. We don't got to watch it ever again. It doesn't mean it's a bad show. It just means probably that a show that's not fit for watching week to week on based off our tastes. But sometimes it means it's a bad show. In the case of Goblin Slayer. With that being said, co-hosts, who are you? And where are you? And what are you wearing?
Hi, my name is Everything Animated. I'm over here in the warm old state of Arizona. And I'm wearing a Fallout t-shirt with some, like, shorts, cargo shorts, and feeling really great.
Wow, I'm wearing a King of Anime Podcast t-shirt, which you can buy on, not even joking, on teespring.com/ctatics. I don't know how that works. If you put that URL in, maybe, it may work, I don't know. And some cargo shorts as well. Satsuki!
I'm Satsuki. I am in Florida, and I'm wearing a Jordan t-shirt, gym shorts, and some boxers with a small tear in it. So that's how.
Damn,
that's how it's going.
I thought you would be wearing a Fallout 4 t-shirt as pants, and then a King of Anime t-shirt as your hat.
I mean, that's the outfit for next day, but.
So yes, this is the King of Anime Podcast, and I guess we should go ahead and get right into the first show, because it's the finale of Sport Climbing Girls. And I'm just going to say it, okay guys, I'm not going to say this whole thing was worth it for on my end, but last episode was probably the best episode out of all of them.
Yeah, it was a wonderful end. I personally didn't even know that this was the final episode until it just kind of just straight up ended. I'm like, oh shit, we're ending this. And I got to admit, as far as this season is concerned, Cool Kurisu is one of the most evil villains of all time.
Oh my god.
In this season, for
Dude,
sure.
She started singing.
Yeah. She's like, I don't even remember what she said. Something along the lines of, you will never beat me. Na-na-na-na-na-na. Something
you
along
those lines.
You can't
chase me. There's something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, ooh. So yeah, and I think she draws great heat. She's a great heel.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. 100%. There is this weird sequence that they redid three times in this episode, though, where Cool Kurisu would be doing something and, like, It felt like they were trying to do like a JoJo thing where she would pass or whatever and she'd be like, Cool Kurisu, because she's terrible. And it would like zoom through the door onto Konami's face. And
I did notice that.
But it was like the same animation. There wasn't anything that made it unique until it was the last time they did it. It was very weird.
I feel like they were doing that almost kind of a way to just be like, hey there, Konamin, you're going to listen to these cheers and you're going to get amped up and be all kinds of, I don't know, like just like ready to take her on, because the last time she saw her, she told her butt ass naked that she was going to beat her.
Yeah. I mean, that is the way to tell somebody you're going to beat them, unclothed and preferably wet. So, it worked. It worked for Konami, and she ended up doing it at the very end.
I mean, she didn't beat her on an individual level, but her team, yes, their team beat her as a team. So at least they got that. I was like, yay, right. Yeah.
Also, if you're not already familiar, Satsuki is checking the chat this week. He is the chat man, because for the next good long while, as long as AOT is airing, we are not reading this chat.
Yeah, you guys don't know how to behave, so yeah.
Sasuke's gonna be cracking the whip.
Yeah, sure.
What did you think about Evil Spider Girl losing at the very end, Sasuke? She wasn't used very much.
I mean, I'm not too high on this last episode because, like, I have to kind of like balance it because it was only 12 episodes, so they couldn't tell the whole story. I don't think. I don't know if this went the same way in the manga. Maybe like the conclusion, but I don't know how the details went into it because it kind of just felt like we basically resolved everything with this one episode because we had the prelims in the last episode and this covered the speed and bouldering. And I thought there was another one, but I'm not even sure anymore. But yeah, that's the thing about it. It turned into like we had a lot of different characters that could have been rivals. They could have been like good matchups. And I guess it's just the nature of the sport to where you can't really have like one-on-ones and you can't have those rivalries that I was kind of expecting. But yeah, it is disappointing that I think her name is Iwamane. She wasn't like really too important in the last thing. It was just mostly just Konomi versus Ane, and that's just how it went. When she became like the big bad person and she became evil, everything was focused on Konomi trying to beat her and trying to best her. I mean, I still thought this episode was good. It wasn't my favorite, but it definitely felt rushed to me. But I understood why it was, because again, I don't think 12 episodes was enough to wrap up everything.
I thought the animation this episode wasn't like great or by any standards, but for this show, it was the best they've had animation wise because they focused on a lot of really small hand movements and foot movements that I really enjoyed. It felt like a really cool experience for the last episode. It just felt a little bit more weighty, a little bit more impact. And because of that, it felt a little tad bit more immersive than it usually does, which is an accomplishment for this show. I don't know who's actually working on this, a studio. Probably some studio I've never heard of, but I think they did really, really good, just technical-wise. I really like the music. I really like the sound design of this episode, and I liked how muscular all these women were. I thought that was one aspect that they did. It was a small thing, but it was really cool to see. Like, it was almost like the what is that volleyball show, Honey Botto? It's kind of like that. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel overdone. It just felt.
Honey Botto is
badminton.
It's badminton, and the volley is it's like hockey or something like that.
IQ.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm sure all sports shows do this. But for this show, I felt it was very well done for what they had. It was obvious they didn't have like some terrible high budget for this show. So I think a lot of it was really just like, look how bright the show is, and that kind of carried it for some episodes.
It's so beautiful.
It's very well colored. Very well colored. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't feel like any emotional impact in this episode as I did with others, because like I feel like other episodes had things going for them, like with the defeat, you kind of feel like bad for everybody. Like I thought the episode where I cannot remember her name, the really short girl.
Okay.
Yeah. When she lost, like I kind of felt for her because her height put her at a severe disadvantage. Yeah. And to me, that had a lot of emotional impact. But here, I guess the only thing that you could get hype for or something that kept you engaged was the rivalry between Konomi and Ane. I think besides that, it was just, you know, of course, the whole thing of, you know, doing it for your team, doing it for your friends, but that's like a constant in every time they climb. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, now that you bring that up, I think you're right. I don't think it was a big aspect for me, but or a super big aspect, but I think that the final episode, you're right with Nono, she had a really nice story to her climb. And I think Konami had a story as well, because of, like you said, just wanting to beat Cool Kurisu, the fucking asshole that she is. But I felt like there was something they could have done with it trying to beat her personal best, because they did that for a little bit of this episode, but like maybe do something, you know, push the boundaries of who you are as a person to get this thing accomplished. And through that physical feat, that is where the, you know, the true accomplishment went. But it really just seemed like, Nanana Boo Boo, I won, you lost, Cool Kurisu.
And yeah, that whole song was just, the song was just, I was like, okay, they really are trying to put, like when they did the whole thing of like the judges were looking at those two talking to each other like, I wonder what those two are talking about. Is she giving her like encouragement or good luck? And then they cut to them talking to what they're like actually twisted. Saying. Yeah. And then she's like, I'm going to destroy you. It's over. Like, what?
I'm going to make you wish you'd never been born.
Yeah. You know, I think I would have liked this show if it was just an hour and a half movie. Because you could easily, you know, in a traditional sports movie atmosphere, you could tell this story, like, just do a kind of really basic sports story, you know, come rags to riches kind of thing even, and, you know, pushing the limits of who you are in the sport and your body, and just have, like, you know, the generic speech from Yotsuba at the very end of this, like, we gotta do this for America. And then everybody salutes everybody. And
well, they wouldn't be doing it for America, but
and then you could still have them just being naked and just confronting each other. You could still do that. It'd just be a little bit more, I don't know, I guess well defined that way. I think this show probably, yeah, it just felt a little all over the place at times. It was too slow at times. It was too generic at times, which is funny because I just recommended they do like a generic movie for this. But I really think if you do something safe for this story and then have elements in there that make it, you know, pop a little bit, I think this would have been probably a really decent watch. But for me, as it stands, the final episode, I like the final episode. I like the first couple episodes. I don't know.
I liked it too. I thought overall this show was, you know, just overall decent. You know, it wasn't anything super spectacular. Like, there was a lot of things that I felt like they did really well on, like how Konami wasn't just automatically this climbing expert that could just like tower anybody and just be like, I'm the best and what's your motivation? I think this is fun. I hate those shows that incorporate that. It's like, yeah, I get it, you can have fun, but that doesn't make you an expert at the actual sport.
I don't know, this feels like a show that's written by, I don't want to say a novice or someone who's green at this, because I don't want to be disrespectful, but someone who probably went into this show with a genuine interest in what climbing was and wanted to craft this story around it. And I think they just, for me at the very least, I think they fell a little bit short. They were very close, though, at times. Like, I think genuinely most every character we see is likable, except for Cool Kurisu. Other than that, I mean, I like Konami. I think she's a great main character. I think all the characters, like the main cast, Yotsuba, Jun, Nono, all great. I can remember their names. So that's good, you know?
I think this was the company or the studio that you guys want to know. It's called Blade. And I think this was one of their first serious ones, because everyone I'm seeing doesn't look good. In fact, it almost looks like it's not a traditional anime.
Well, damn. Well, I think I'll keep an eye on the studio, because I know for a fact their coloring is really good. And it seems they got some very competent people on their staff, so.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, everything else seems to be like an OVA or something, but this was like their first attempt at an actual like series.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go. Anybody have anything else to say on sport climbing, girls?
There was one thing I wanted to add. I thought the last part where all you hear is Konami breathing before she takes her last attempt at trying to get that last, I don't know, peg or perch or whatever, I thought was neat. Like, that's something that definitely, in the right sense, like, they shine with that part. I was just like, oh, is she going to make it? Is she going to make it? Cause, I don't know. I thought for a second there maybe she wasn't, because this show surprised me when it comes to certain things. And then she made it. I was like, ah, of course.
Yeah. I think that moment is actually a really great example of what I think the studio can, you know, take this as like a base and run with it, because that moment was, the idea behind it was really good and the direction was decent. But I feel like there is more potential for scenes like that in this series and for any, pretty much any other scene. I feel like they did the best they could, but at the same time, I don't know. I feel like there was just so much more that, you know, could be done from this idea, these themes and tones. And who knows, maybe this will get a season 2 and we'll see an improvement on it, which, because we got to season 1, that does mean if there is a season 2, we have to watch it for the show. So
is that what it means?
That is the rule.
Okay.
Just based on how things ended, I don't expect a season 2. This show is kind of like in the dirt too, as far as you know. Well, my anime list ratings don't really reflect on if something's going to get a second season, but it gives you an idea of how people feel about the show, and they're not really high on it. So I don't see a second season happening, but crazier things have happened. So
right, Rent a Girlfriend got a season 2. So
well, people actually like that series, regardless of how you guys feel about it.
They do? Yeah. Oh my god. Well, since I did it on my channel, that means...
Oh god, just don't break the end of the CA.
Are you coming back? Are you coming back? Or is it just going to be me and Rising?
It'll depend on which season it's out in, I guess. Because if it's like next season, then I don't think there's a chance.
Yeah, I don't think they really announced. I mean, I know they announced that there's going to be a season 2. I don't think they announced a date. If it's happening during My Hero, they can kiss my ass.
Well, I mean, there's so many series that are coming out next season.
So many.
Kill past the final episode?
Let's just kill the final episode.
Yeah, we can go ahead and kill it.
All right, well, I guess it's finally killed off. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I felt really bad for you, so I wanted to end your suffering.
Yashahime, episode 12. I'm gonna cry.
You don't sound good.
I want to say, what happened? Did you eat a bad case of oysters?
No, I had a bad case of sport climbing girls for 12 weeks.
I mean, it's over now. We killed it for you.
Yeah. Don't you feel happy?
Yashahime, episode 12. Listen, okay. Toa with black hair looks awesome.
Yeah. It's all right.
I also like the reveal of it, too. Because I didn't understand when he said Toa with the black hair. I'm like, what? They're going to do like an altered version of her where she's like evil? What is this? And I should have seen it coming because it's like Inuyasha, right? But yeah. Toa is affected by the new moon.
I have issues with that.
All right.
And the only reason I say that is because I swear Myoga's there now to just be the person that explains... to be the person that explains everything. And what we got from that segment was that Well, how come it affects her? Well, because she's a half. Why doesn't it affect me? Well, because you're a quarter. Well, why doesn't it affect her? Well, because she's been here and you're in it. Well, how come it never worked before in the past when she was in the future? Well, in the future, it never worked there because now it works here now. And I'm just like, can I be any more fucking confused than what I am now? How come some things work in this sense, but the other things don't work in that sense? Well, you see, if you lean your head to the right and you just squint just a little bit, then all of a sudden the moon tilts. And it was just like a pain in the ass to me. I'm just like, I don't know. I just didn't. It's whatever, I guess. But I just was like, okay, this is their explanation as to why things are happening.
I suppose.
I want to read this real quick. SPC Foundation said, I'm new to this channel, but so far the channel is really nice. And Benjado said, love your channel and community.
Oh,
well, thank you. I appreciate
that. Yeah, that's really nice.
I appreciate that. It is very nice. And it's time you, because you are the millionth visitor to this channel. Congratulations.
Oh,
you won.
Yeah. What did they win, Ben?
My gratitude.
Be sure to spay your pets and neuter your dogs.
Just sitting here in my garage with my new Ferrari.
Oh my gosh.
You remember Ty Lopez?
Remember
for a while he had those YouTube ads where he's like, just in here in my garage of my Ferrari.
I remember that.
He read one book a day. That's what he claimed to do.
The hell?
Yeah. Did he, was this like a get rich quick scheme or something?
Yes, that's what Ty Lopez is.
Oh.
What was he reading? Like Cat in the Hat?
He had like a whole
one fish, thing. Red fish, blue fish, two fish.
Done.
Why the hell are we not talking about this show? A lot of stuff happened in it.
No, it didn't. It was boring.
Well, this episode, it's funny because this demon in this episode, I felt like was one of the closest to actually killing everybody. But he was just like some father guy who, what's his name? Cotone used as basically like an experiment to test them, I guess. But it also makes me think, like, why don't they just jump these girls? Like, I'm tired of them sending one person. You guys have proven you can't handle them on your own. You got to jump them, you know, get the SWAT and jump them.
Get the SWAT.
Come on, Satsuki. Come on. You're speaking irrational now. I mean, why? why would they ever do anything like that?
Satsuki, you need to get the squad shirt that has like all the evil, like just like a bunch of made up, just generic Inuyasha villains on it.
All right, that's an idea. I'll say that in the tuck.
But they're like, it's like get the squad, and they're like all jumping into the blast of like the cyclone blast. They're all getting ready to die, but they're so confident.
I mean, it's just one of those things where like I understand it because realistically, I mean, you can apply this to a lot of series. Like, why don't they just do this? Blah blah blah. But it's just, I don't know. I definitely think in that instance, if I knew I got my ass whooped and I had to retreat, I'm not going to send a guy who's weaker than me. I'm going to get that weaker guy, maybe some other people, and you know, we're gonna jump him. As simple as that.
This literally reminds me of that scene in Austin Powers where Scott's like, Dad, why don't I just shoot him right here? Why do you gotta put him in this like lava thing? And then Dr. Evil's like, Scotty, don't. Okay, Daddy knows what he's doing. But look, just give me a gun. I'll shoot him. Where is it? No, Scotty, don't. Scotty, don't. Stop it. But let me just do that. Let me just do that. It's literally the same kind of logic when you think about it.
Yeah, it's like the whole trope of like the villain has to give a speech before killing the hero, and then somebody saves him in time.
The reason that I'm here right now is because of an overarching plot that's extremely important to this whole story, and it all involves you because you are the main characters, and I am evil.
Oh my god,
that was pretty good.
Yeah, you sound like a fodder villain.
Yeah, that was really good.
Get the squad t-shirts, guys. Get them at your local Best Buy.
Freaking, someone needs to hire you to be like one of those demon things. No, in fact, you should be the demon that got killed in this episode.
I should have.
You should. No, you killed me.
Even in the beginning of the episode, like his dialogue with Kontan was like him. Like, it was so awkward because he's like, I'll read what he said verbatim. He said, I see. So you think that I, Nicholson, being both demon and human, it's like he's explaining shit to this guy who should already know this.
Yes, my friend from a long time ago. We met in high school, and now we are evil because we killed everyone in our village.
You need to take that voice on the road, man. I'm telling you, that is a great voice.
I just did it randomly. I don't know.
Yeah, Funimation is going to claim this video.
They can't. Chris, your own person.
Sean Schimmel's going to come to my house and be like, hey, it's me, Goku. And I'll be like, oh, it's Goku. And he's just going
to... And I'm here to kick your ass.
You fucking little shit. You better stop doing that voice right now. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
This is how I normally sound. What are you talking about?
I mean, I don't know why you doubt that Funimation would claim this. I remember two occasions. One time, Chibi got one of his videos claimed when he was just like vlogging outside. I don't know what the hell they claimed, but they claimed that. And then going to see, there was a time a dam company claimed one of his videos.
A dam inspection company.
I remember that.
Striked one of my videos.
Holy shit. And that was like when I first fought met it. You guys.
Yeah, it was. And when I fought it, they said that I didn't have the evidence to prove that this video is fair use. And I'm like, the fuck?
Oh my god. So you lost that case?
I lost it. I don't have that video anymore.
That is insane. That is really insane. Like, I can't believe that. Unless you're like, you know what you should do out of just spite? You should just make how to make a damn video and then just title it like, I don't know, like the anime that you know, the whatever you call it, like Attack on Titan or whatever. And it's like, we inspect this dam through this sun and we use this kind of da 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 da. See if they do it again.
And then like out pops like a copyright troll, and I use the voice, and it's like,
I am the evil copyright troll.
I swear, see, he's going to turn into a titan, and like, he's going to like destroy dams for fun instead of walls.
Yeah, why not?
You claim my video? How do you like this?
Listen, I'm just saying, if I ever get like burnt to a crisp. Like, give me the Titan serum. Let me eat him. Let me eat him, dog. Let me eat Berthold. He's looking like a snack, but not in that way.
Oh god. Yeah. Flame said, "Love your stuff, C Tap Dudes."
Well, I appreciate it. We have a lot of very positivity. I'm sure if I just minimize the Megumi picture I have covering the chat, it would be a lot of negativity as well. But.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of death threats.
Probably call me a lolicon, which is the worst thing you can call me, by the way.
No, we got a lot of positivity going on. Just wait till we get Attack on Titan, though. Then they'll hate us or spoil us or both.
Yeah, they'll be like, "You see what happened with that episode, and this part hasn't happened yet. Can you believe it?"
We haven't talked about a single goddamn thing from this episode of Yashihime. Did we even like this episode?
No, I didn't. I thought it was boring.
I liked it.
I mean, I'm being dead serious. I'm not trying to, like, undermine the show as a whole. I just feel like we've come to a part now where things are just kind of mundane and just pretty much the same over and over and over.
Yeah, we're in Inuyasha season 6 territory right now.
We really are. And what kills me is, like, I don't know if any of you guys saw the preview for the next video, but we're finally going to get Moroku with long hair.
Oh, we can't kill it.
I mean, we can.
We can.
We're just not going to talk about it.
But Miroku.
Yeah, he's a person.
Yeah, he is a person. And see, I wish I could have seen that a long time ago. And now,
right?
You know, instead of talking about long hair and Miyoga and I'll give the show credit. Freaking Maroha's went from not being a punching bag anymore and a joke. You know, she at least saved Toa this time.
Yeah, I thought that was actually a good scene because, you know, Toa's about to do something really stupid, and this time Maroha was the one, you know, the voice of reason. And she said a really funny line, too, where she said, Miyoga, you're peerless when it comes to hiding and running away. So, like, what we need your guidance for this specific thing. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I just like how Maroha literally calls Miyoga, just says, oh, Miyoga, there's blood. I'm going to get out my Rouge.
This is type A. Come and get it.
To him, it's like crack.
And he just comes down the stream. Yoing, yoing, yoing.
I wonder, like, does he just wait for moments like that? Like, what does he do in his free time?
I don't know. I have no idea what
Miyoga. I think it's weird. He's
still running away from his wife. Remember that episode?
Oh my
God. I didn't even know he had a wife.
He did.
Didn't she show up in like one filler
episode where she takes control of Inuyasha and Inuyasha starts stripping. And stripping in front of Shippo. And Shippo's freaking out. And Inuyasha's being all like sexy like. It's like, and he's like, oh, Shippo. It's so funny.
Oh, Shippo. Ding a ling a ling.
And Shippo's freaking out. I think he's like screaming at Kagome to get her to do something. Yeah, that was the episode where at the beginning they're all sleepwalking and Sango like starts to attack Moroku.
Yeah.
Understandable.
She's a very powerful being if she can take control of Inuyasha like that.
She took control of everyone. Sango, Miroku, Kagome, Inuyasha.
Why was she not a villain?
I don't know. She would have been very effective.
I mean, could you imagine? She could just take control of, like, Naraku and all of the I don't know, underlings that he had, and just game over. Yeah. That would have been it.
Yeah. Which, by the way, when Miroku or Miyoga uses the example of Naraku, who can choose when he when the new moon affects him, they don't know who Naraku is, right?
I don't think so.
They shouldn't.
So why did he say Naraku?
Error.
Is that spotty writing?
Maroha could know, but not Toa. It wouldn't make sense for Toa to know.
What about Setsuna?
It could make sense for Setsuna. Because I'm, you know, they all know Lady Kaede, so they could have heard like tales of you know, they could have heard from other people, but like Toa has been in the human world or the current world for a long time, so I don't see when she would have got that information.
I feel like we could just talk about OG and Inuyasha for these episodes.
I feel like what this, I don't know how many episodes this show is going to be, but I feel like it's trying to bring that long running shonen type of feel back, and it just doesn't feel natural in this current time, because you know we're used to seasonal anime, you know, like 12 episodes, 24 episodes, but again, I don't know how long this show is going to run. I don't think there's ever been like an episode count number, but it feels like we're just in that spot where like we're just like in the mud and we're like stalling for something big to happen.
Really? Yeah, it really does. And it feels like they're trying to get the feeling of, so they did this kind of thing already in the original Inuyasha, not in season 6, but in season 1 they did this. But that was in a way to introduce all these mechanics. Now they don't have any mechanics to really introduce in this series because it's the continuation of Inuyasha. And I get that they're probably trying to go for this new generation feel that Naruto, Boruto had or whatever, but Inuyasha is not that kind of show. Inuyasha is actually good. And so it you can't just, you know, start over in like a new era and just, you know, most of the people watching this are Inuyasha fans. So I think for Inuyasha fans, this is really slow. Really, really slow. Because it's been 20 years. So I don't know. What are we giving this?
Oh, boy. A part of me wants to get rid of it just because I've had it. I mean, we've gone from almost dying on pancakes to, I don't know, whatever this episode was. I mean, we barely even talked about it. That's how interesting this episode was. So, I mean, I might pass it just because, like I said, Moroku's in the next episode, and that itself would be cool, but I don't know if it would be worth it, because I would rather see Inuyasha than Moroku. Or freaking Shomaru. But no, we're getting...
That's the one I want to see, is the Shomaru.
Yeah, me too. I want to see what happened to them.
I thought he was going to show up in this episode.
Yeah, he... No, never did.
You're correct.
Come back to me.
All right. I guess we'll find out next week.
No, come back to me later. I want to hear what Satsuki said.
Okay, Satsuki.
Well, see, I'm in a space where I'm conflicted on it, because I don't want to kill a show that I don't think did anything like egregiously bad. Like I don't think any of these episodes have been terrible, but it's just like with our format and whatnot, we always talk about this, like how we do this on a episode to episode basis. It's hard to keep giving passes to a show that isn't really exciting, you know, because then we could spend our time elsewhere watching something else. But then sometimes you want to hold on, because you know the show has potential and you're just waiting on that. And I think that's what's going on with Yashahime. Like, it has potential, but it's not showing us its quality in these last couple of episodes. Off of the strength of the preview of the next episode. But I feel like if Yashahime turns into a show that like dangles the old Inuyasha in front of your face in the hopes of keeping you engaged, I'm not going to stick around for that. So I'm going to fall for it this one time, all right? But not again. That's all I say.
I gave it one too many passes. I should have killed it with the pancake episode. I'm killing it now.
All right. Well,
so now it's up to you.
To be honest, I was actually going to kill it this episode until EA said Miroku was going to be the next one.
And no, I shouldn't have said anything.
Listen, I need answers, okay? I need answers. No,
you don't. Mm-mm. You don't need no answers.
So tune in next know, week.
When he we have long hair. That's all you need to know.
Tune in
next week. He's got no dick.
What happened to that? Songo took it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just that episode.
That's fine. Songo will probably use it better. Yeah, tune in next week when we kill Yashahime. That's probably what's going to happen. Let's be real here.
Yep.
Oh, we have QRW6 in. Hey! What up, y'all? Came late into the stream, but I'm here now. He's like a superhero. He came literally at the right time.
He really did.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell your friends.
Attack on Titan.
Attack on Titan.
Oh, man.
There is...
Wow.
Reiner. This... He's precious. But not really.
So many... It's so crazy seeing this episode. Like, we finally get to see the whole plan of basically taking down Wall Maria, how it came to fruition. I was hanging on to every word that was going on. I'm just like, so they had to pick people, and they were essentially children whenever they destroyed the wall.
Yeah, teenagers.
Teenagers, whatever. And I was just like, what the hell? It's just really surreal to see something like that, kind of like on the opposite end. And it puts a lot of things into perspective, because we saw through Eren's perspective, obviously, the first so many seasons. And now we see it through Reiner, through Bortold, through, what's her name, Amy? Ellie?
Annie-chan?
Annie. Oh my god, Annie. Thank you. Annie. By the way, is Annie dead?
I don't know where the Annie. She's in a crystal.
Last time I checked, she was in a crystal, and I don't know if that means she's hibernating for the winter or
she's been hibernating for a while.
I must have, or if she's like permanently dead. Anyway, she's gone. Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, that was just really cool. Just seeing the story of just, I don't know, just like how Reiner became who he was, and it seemed like he was just this scared little child, and he wanted to keep pushing through and keep doing things. And it's weird, because they could have, I think there was at one point where they could have returned back to base after 5 years, but he's like, no, I want to stay, I want to keep doing this. And essentially that pretty much cost the other two's lives, because he wanted to stay longer for I don't know, just because of his hate, or because he wanted to prove something? I don't know.
That is the
it's
thing.
It's really weird.
Reiner, these two instances, the first time this happened, you know, Ymir ate Marcel and became the Jaw Titan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that happened. And that was Reiner's fuck up. And he said he wanted to keep going, because he knew that if he went back now, he'd be done. And all the things that he worked for this happy family that he wanted... you know, to be an honorary Marlian, to be done.
Yeah.
And then now you have the second instance where it wasn't as easy as they thought it was going to be to destroy this wall of people. They thought it would probably just be, all right, we'll just go in, destroy the wall, and it'll be over. That wasn't the case. And it failed that time. So Annie's, once again, is like, can we just go back? And Reiner's like, no. And all of this is this other part of Reiner is playing in the background of his split personality. So Annie's like, a lot of your friends are going to die. And Reiner's like, do you not forget these aren't our friends, these are devils.
Yeah.
Reiner is a very awesome character.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. You could tell it troubles him. The dude almost offed himself.
Yeah.
Because of all this, I don't know, the feelings that he's just holding within, the fact that he feels like it's like his fault that things have gotten the way that they were.
Yeah.
And he was about to do it. He was about to pull the trigger, and then what, Colt? Is that his name?
Falco,
gotta. I'm going to get these names. he was just knocking, saying, housekeeping? And then he was like, okay, I'm all better now.
Well, no, he just came by and he was saying something to himself. He was getting bullied by other people. And he said, like, I think Falco said he wouldn't let it happen again, or he can't let it happen again, or something. Something along those lines. I could be totally wrong. And that's what snapped him out of it from actually doing it. But I think when he first accepted this role as being the Armored Titan, he thought everything would be so much better than what it is. And what ended up happening was most of his friends have died. He's going to suffer the fate of dying miserably. And he probably thought that at this point, just end it as quick and painlessly as possible. But with Falco kind of, you know, kicking him out of this, you know, depressive state and this depressive mood, I think he realizes maybe he has something to give these kids before he goes. And I think that, in a sense, may be the thing that redeems Reiner, at least in
possibly
for himself, to make this all worth it. Because maybe he sees none of this as worth it. Maybe to him, warring and trying to kill all these other people and having these two lives that he lived for so many years, killing his friends, essentially. Maybe he's just fed up with it all, but this one thing could be like, you know, to save somebody, save these kids, something.
I did like how whenever you saw in the flashback when he was interacting with Aaron, and how he saw Aaron's drive and saw his passion to want to keep, just basically keep moving on. But he also told him, Reiner, how can you do it? How can you keep pushing on like this when there's, and he saw himself in him.
Yeah.
And at the same time, that kind of contradicts, you know, what he was originally saying in the first episode of the season, where he just, I hated everybody. Well, if you hated everybody, how come you saw something in Aaron? You know, if you really hated him as much as you did, you would have taken care of him when you did, but you didn't.
Right.
So that's definitely, yeah, that makes him a really, really interesting character.
So this is something I got from my comments. It's a nice little detail, and I didn't even notice this, probably because I haven't watched season one of Attack on Titan in forever. But the story that Bertold tells them in season one about, I forget, but basically the how they were Titans attacked. It was the same story that the guy who hung himself in this episode told them. Bertold stole that story.
Huh. Yeah, it's what they're trying to refer to is in the first season of Attack on Titan, this is when they were still training. There was Bertolt, Reiner, Aaron, and Armin, and they were basically telling their origin story. Aaron told, you know, how things happened and how he became a soldier and how he became a refugee. And Bertolt and Reiner stole that origin story from the guy who hung himself, and they told that story. It's a really cool detail, because he literally told it basically the same, except it's, you know, of course he told it as if it was him experiencing those things, because obviously they wouldn't have a real origin story and they would look kind of suspicious.
Yeah. It is a really, really nice detail. Quite exceptional. Exceptional, really, if I can speak. Also, the flashback. Okay, so a lot of people in my comment section said that this flashback sequence where he's a kid and he sees his father going in, the show makes it look like he's imagining it. Did you guys feel that same way, where he's interacting with his father, and then it cuts back to him in the carriage? I thought he was imagining that whole interaction.
No, I thought he had experienced it at one point, and then he was just thinking back to it.
I don't know. Maybe that could be what it was, because people corrected me a lot. I just want to see if you guys were confused. But, yeah, I mean, that whole interaction with his father, it's almost like, you know, it's extremely, extremely sad in the sense that it was like right there for him, like that family, like he done it all that he could. He became a Marleyan because his mother told him that if they were Marleyans, that his father wouldn't have abandoned him. But really, you know, the now after this interaction, it was just the case of it was never going to happen anyways. And sure, that got him to that point, like that dream of being in a happy family got him there. It got him all these great accolades and achievements. I mean, he became the Armored Titan. He was in a parade, for Jesus Christ. They were celebrating them as honorary Marleyans. He did it. But it just wasn't good enough. And I feel like Reiner's character is a set of compromises to his situation of just going down and down and down, all of the compromises to be happy. And it's like, all right, well, no happy family. Well, that's fine. I'm a soldier. I'm the Armored Titan. I'll just do my job and eliminate everybody. That failed. All right. I guess we'll keep trying. And it's just, it keeps going on and on and on.
Yeah. You get a sense that nobody, at least nobody who is a warrior, has a real loyalty to Marley. Because you just like read their dialogue and their body language. It doesn't seem like anybody is doing this because they earnestly believe like that Marley is right or anything of the sort. It's just like they do it for whatever reason. For some reasons we don't know. Like even in Annie in this episode, she said something to the effect like she doesn't trust Marleyans or Eldians. She just has her own goal and she just wants to go back home. And you just get the sense that that's kind of the same for everybody else. You know, they're just, their actions are dictated by the society that's already in place. And since they are the ones being oppressed or oppressed, they have to just listen to Marleyan rule. And that's just how it goes.
Yeah. It is all very, very sad. I do think it is interesting the conversation they have where Marcel, I believe. I have it written down here in my notes. Well, they're at like a camp and one of them, Porcel or Marco, I can't remember at this point, reveals that, hey, Reiner, the whole reason any of this happened is because I wanted just to save my brother, protect my brother.
Mm-hmm.